But looking in the Word of the Lord to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." Amen. And then verse 16 and 18. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Amen. And so I want to talk tonight about this subject: right motives and rich rewards. Right motives and rich rewards. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Among the Jews, and still today among Christians, there are three religious imperatives, and those are almsgiving and prayer and fasting. All of these are good and essential in themselves, and they're things that we need to do. They're things that we must do, but we must do them for the right reason. And we must do them with the right motive. Amen. You know, reward's a good thing. Reward's a good thing. We are made and we are motivated by rewards. And one of the reasons that socialism, communism, always fails is because it's not a system of rewards. It does not reward people for what they do. The idea is that everybody gets an equal portion of the pie regardless of what they do. Just for being alive, they get an equal piece of the pie, and that's not fair, is it? Amen. Well, that's not fair. I'll just tell you, it's not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so those that work harder and do more should get more rewards. Is that right? Amen. Sure, we believe that. One of the first things you learn as a child is to say, "That's not fair." You ever heard a child say that? Amen. That's one of the first things they say. And they're right. Life's not fair, and it never does get fair. As long as you live, it doesn't get fair. But God believes in reward. He said, how many times did we say the word reward in these verses? I didn't count them, but it's got to be there at least 6 to 8 times. So Jesus apparently does believe in giving rewards, doesn't he? He said that there's two kinds of rewards. One is the kind of rewards that people give you. And then he said there's the kind that your Father in heaven gives you. So there's two kinds of rewards that we receive in life. And it depends the kind of reward that we get for our giving and for our fasting and for our praying depends on the motive. And so he gives us a right way and he gives us a wrong way here. Amen. First of all, let's look again at his admonition on the subject of giving. Jesus said that when you give, not if, but when. So it's not something that really is optional. It's something that we do. And so giving is a part of the Christian life. So he gives us, first of all, he talks about the wrong way to give. The wrong way to give. And the word giving comes actually from the word of Hebrew. It's identical to the Hebrew word righteous. Isn't that amazing? That God feels that way about giving. I guess he does, because God so loved that he did what? He gave his only begotten son. So God is about giving. He gives sunshine every day, doesn't he? Amen. He gives rain when we need it. Hallelujah. God's in the giving business. And he likes for his people also to be in the giving, sharing business as well. So the motives of giving, first of all, some people give out of a sense of duty. They have to. Well, that's not altogether bad. That's probably an elementary beginning way to get started. There's nothing wrong with it. Exactly. Just give because you think you should, need to, ought to. And that's a beginning place. Amen. And as long as we don't give grudgingly, as long as we don't give out of a sense of superiority, that we're better because we do something, amen, then it's not the best motive, but it's better than some. Amen. To give out of duty. And then there are people that give out of a sense of prestige. Prestige is, it's like memorial giving. What's in it for me? There are people that give because their name's going to be put on the building. Brother Neil's in the hospital, and the name of it is Zale Lipschy. I don't know who Zale Lipschy is, but apparently he gave a lot. and he's got a hospital name after him. Amen. And I'm glad he does. Thank God for Mr. Lipschy. I'm glad he's generous enough to do that. Amen. I don't mind his name being there. But if that's the only reason you give, is so your name will be on something, that's not the best reason, is it? Amen. That's not the right reason. Now, if you give anyway and somebody puts your name on that of appreciation, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, it just depends on motive. But if your giving is attached to something like something that'll benefit you and you'll get memorialized because of it, that's not a good motive for giving. Amen. What's the greatest motive for giving? The greatest motive for giving is love, isn't it? For God so loved that he gave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody said that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. It's the motive. When you love something, you give to that. Parents, for instance, that love their children. You know, parents give a lot to their kids. Amen. How many sleepless nights, amen, have you given up? Sleep, precious sleep, because of your children. Amen. How many extra hours have you worked? Things that you do that you wouldn't do for any other reason. But because you love them, that's why you do it. That's why you do it. A little boy made a list of things that he did for his mom, and he added it up and said she owed him $15. So he made a, she made a list of all she did for him and said, I don't owe you anything. Amen. And when he got the list, he got the message. Amen. And he decided he didn't need the $15 after all. But love is the greatest motive in the world for giving. That's what moved Jesus to go to Calvary, wasn't it? Amen. It moved him. It motivated him. It made him go. Paul said it this way. He said, the love of God constrains me. In other words, when he didn't want to preach, he preached anyway because he said, the love of God constrains me. When he didn't want to go, when he didn't feel like it, he went because the love of God constrained him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the love of God keeps us doing things. It motivates us when nothing else does. Some of you, you didn't feel like coming to church tonight, but you're here because you love the Lord. You could have been somewhere else, but you chose to be here tonight. And there are others that would be here if they could. Amen. But I'm just saying that love makes us do things that nothing else would. That's the only reason that you're here tonight, is because you love the Lord. Amen. That's what keeps you coming. That's what keeps the doors open. That's what keeps the lights on, is because you love the Lord. The Bible said about Jesus that when he looked out at the people, I think of that story. You know, Jesus had a cousin by the name of John. John the Baptist, the Bible calls him. And that was his cousin, and he was a special man. And John was beheaded because he preached the truth. And when Jesus heard that news, the Bible says he went off by himself. You know, sometimes when you get some bad news, you just want a little time to grieve and just be by yourself. But the Bible says that the people saw him and they followed after him. And here's this big crowd of people. He needed to be by himself, but he was not selfish. And so the Bible said that when he saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he opened up himself and began to minister to them because he loved. He put his needs on the shelf. He pushed his grief aside and he buried his own sorrow so that he could minister to somebody else. That's what love is. It'll make you give when you feel like you can't give anymore. It'll make you go when you feel like you just can't go anymore. Love is a great motivator. Amen. It does something that nothing else can do. Amen. I've been in some marvelous services where people were just moved by love. I was in a service some years ago, quite a few years ago now, very memorable, in Life Tabernacle in Houston, Texas. I remember that morning, it was a man got up to preach. He was a home missionary. He had a speech impediment. He didn't speak plainly. And his preaching was not all that fantastic. Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord moved in that congregation. And he was just talking about what God had called him to do and how he was trying to do it. And he didn't ask for anything. He asked for nothing. But somebody just got up and brought an offering and laid it down on the platform. And another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. Amen. And I don't have any idea how large the offering was, but I know out of that, it was a very large congregation. And a lot of people just felt motivated. They didn't do it because anybody asked them to. The pastor didn't ask them to. Certainly the guy up there talking didn't ask them to. They were just moved because they felt the love for that man and his mission that God had given him to do. Amen. And so when people are moved with compassion and moved with love, it's the greatest motive there is. As far as giving, that's what motivates us the most. Amen. That's the right way to give, isn't it? Amen. Jesus said, you don't do it for the glory of men. You know, sometimes, I know why we do it. I try to avoid it the best I can, but you know, sometimes we have services and we need to raise a certain amount of money. And so sometimes we'll say who will give this much and who will give this much. And I understand reluctance. Sometimes you just don't really want to. And I feel the same way. I always hate to say, well, I'll do this or I'll do that. And I don't know another way to quite to do that, really, unless maybe we pass out slips of paper. Maybe we could give by secret ballot. Maybe that'd be a better way to do it. I don't know. Amen. But that, you see, even if you say, I'll give such and such, that's not, we're not talking about, that's not a boastful thing. Amen. You're not being boastful. You're just, we're just trying to raise a goal, and you're just saying what you can do. You're not doing that for glory, you see. That's not your purpose. And so that's not what we're talking about here. But you know, and perhaps you have seen people that their giving really is. It's out of pride. And they want people to really know what they've done. Jesus talked, I don't know if he's, you know, teaching here by extreme. They did that a lot in Hebrew. But he talks about people coming to church blowing a trumpet before they gave an offering. I don't know. I don't know if they really did that, but that would be something, wouldn't it? Amen. If somebody came in here tonight, all of a sudden we're sitting here and ta-dun, 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 and trumpets and guys marching in here, and right behind them comes a guy with a big old bag of money, and it comes down, we'll take it. Amen. I'll go ahead and let the men reward him. Amen. It's like the secretary got a call on the phone. And the guy on the phone said, "I want to talk to the head hog at the trough." And she said, "Well, if you're talking about our pastor, we don't talk about him like that." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He said, "I just had a $20,000 gift I wanted to give, but I'll call back another time." So she said, "Oh, wait a minute, sir. The big pig just walked in." Amen. So it was all right. Amen. But Jesus, he didn't say not to give. He just said that you already have your reward. He didn't say that the Lord wouldn't take your offering. He just said that you have your reward. And he said that it's paid in full. You got what you wanted. You wanted the attention and the praise of people, and that's what you got. So that's okay, you see. That's what you wanted. That's what you received. He said, but if you give in secret, then your Father in heaven that sees in secret will reward thee openly. Now, Jesus said that our Father will reward us. We need to understand that most rewards that God gives are not material gifts. Although I've seen that happen. We were meeting the Foreign Missions Board, and the night before we went to meet the Foreign Missions Board, we were in a church service. There was a missionary there to Russia, and our daughter didn't have a lot of money, maybe $20 or whatever it was. I don't remember. She had some money that we had given her. She saved it up, and she said, "I really feel like I want to give." And so we said, "All right, give it." And she did. And just gave it because she wanted to. And the next day, when we met the Foreign Missions Board and they talked to Cherie, they found out that it was her birthday. And there was a lot of grandpas on that missionary board. And she came out with more than she gave the night before. And the Lord just did that. Now, if you give, if you get the idea, you know, that God's going to reward me, and so I'm going to give $50 because I believe God will give back $500, that's a business agreement, and God's not going to be bound to that. So these fellows that tell you to give seed money, are they just going to keep your seed? Amen. And And that's not the way it works. You give because you want to give. You give out of love, and then God may reward you. But he may not reward you financially. I heard something else one time I thought was really good. There was a guy one time that he wanted to give an offering, felt like he should, but all he had to give was the money that he was going to pay his income tax with. So he gave his income tax money, knowing that the Lord would reward him for that, and guess what? The Lord didn't. And so he got stuck with penalties and interest and all kinds of trouble, and he's talking, and he said, God, you know, I gave that money because I knew that you were going to reward me. And the Lord told him, he said, that wasn't your money. You gave Uncle Sam's money. That wasn't yours. So you'll see, if you give Uncle Sam's money or Sears or J.C. Penney's money, then that's not your money, is it? Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yes.
Amen. I know that you won't hear a lot of people say that, but I'm just telling you the truth tonight. Amen. We need to give what's ours. But if it's not yours and you don't have permission, then don't give it for somebody else. Amen. And so that sometimes can bring you trouble when you give something you don't have to give. If it's not yours, then you get what you have. And so the right motive for giving then is love. Not for the glory of men, but for the glory of God. Amen. And so that's why we give. We give in secret. We may give in sacrifice. You remember that little, this is a very, very interesting story. If you don't know this story, you need to read it. Matter of fact, why don't we just turn over there right now and take a quick look at it. In the 12th chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And very, very, very interesting story here. The Bible says, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many were rich, cast in much. Now, I want you to look at this with me here. Where was Jesus in the temple? Of all places, where was he? The Bible said he was sitting right by the offering pan. That's interesting, isn't it? He was sitting right, and the Bible, listen, look at this, it says, and beheld how, not what, notice it's not what, it's how the people cast money in the treasury. See the difference, not what, not how much, but how. What was he doing? He was watching their motive. Watching their motive. And he says, and many that were rich cast in much. That was their motive. They cast in a lot. That was how they gave. Next verse. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now, that was the two smallest coins of the day. It would be like pennies in our currency. See, in other words, if it were American money, she would have put in two pennies. And that's not much, is it? And he called unto him his disciples. Now look, Jesus got excited about that. So much so that he called his disciples over and he said to them, verily, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And here's the reason. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So he said, this woman gave everything. And the Lord noticed that, didn't he? You think he still does? I think he still does. You remember Ananias and Sapphira that got in trouble over it wasn't over an offering, it was over a lie, wasn't it? You know why they got in such trouble? Because people were really sacrificing in that offering. And then they lied about what they did, and God didn't take kindly to that, not in the face of sacrifice. All these other people were sacrificing greatly, and they appeared to sacrifice, but did not. And that angered the Lord. And he judged them immediately for what they did. And so God's serious about sacrifice. Now, God doesn't ask for all like that. God, I'm not saying that when the offering comes around, you got to put in everything you got. That's not what this is teaching us. That's not what this is teaching us. But if you feel compelled to do that, and you do, then God rewards you. But that's not what you do all the time. Amen. I feel compelled to give. I don't know how it is with you, but I just can't hardly not give. I like to give. I enjoy giving. I have a hard time not giving. Amen. I have to train myself because I go, it's real sneaky, isn't it? You're at the grocery store and they say, would you like to donate a dollar to such and such? And you know what? Not all those people are good stewards of what they're taking. Matter of fact, some of them are real bad stewards. Amen. And I can't support some of what they do. That Susan Komen Cancer Group, they did a lot of good things, but they made a big mistake when they gave more than $600,000 to kill babies. I don't agree with that. I don't want my money going for abortions. Not if they say they're going to fight cancer. You want to fight cancer, I'll help you. You want to abort babies, I don't want to help you. That'll get you in trouble with God, and I don't want to get in trouble with God. Amen. And so almsgiving, we got to be responsible what we give, right? So be careful about giving and careful what you support in your giving. Amen. All right. And so then he goes on to prayer. He says, when you pray. Everybody say, when? When you pray. Not if, but when you pray. And then he gives us an example of how not to pray. He talks about proud prayers. He said there were guys and they stand on the street corners to pray. Amen. And they lift up their voice. And, you know, you can kind of tell by a person's tone who they're praying to. Some people are not praying to God. They're praying to themselves. They're praying to be heard. Amen. They're praying to show you how important they are and how spiritual they are. Right? Amen. You remember the publican and the sinner that were praying? Remember that? Or the publican and the, not a republican, it's just a publican. And the Pharisee, and they were praying together. And the Pharisee was praying and he said, Lord, I thank you, but I'm not like this publican over here. Amen. The publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus said, which one of those prayers do you think God heard? Certainly not the prideful prayer. He heard the humble prayer, right? Obviously. So God doesn't hear proud prayers. God doesn't hear us because of vain repetitions. Amen. Certain group teaches us that you do something, you're supposed to pray so many Our Fathers and so many Hail Marys. But we're not heard because of repetition of prayers. Amen. As a matter of fact, God wants you just to learn how to just talk to Him. Amen. He doesn't want you to have a religious, just learn how to pray very religiously with all the these and the thous and the I's. That's not important. God, you don't talk like that. Don't talk to God like that. Amen. When you talk to God, you just talk to God. Amen. And he likes that. He knows you. He knows your vocabulary. You know what I find interesting? When we have tongues and an interpretation, isn't it interesting how it's a little different? Depends on the person. Some people stand up and they give this flowing, poetic, beautiful interpretation. You think, wow. Somebody else, it's just real plain. You know why? It's just the difference in the people. You read your Bible. There was a man by the name of Amos. Amos was a fig picker. He was a farmer. You read the book of Amos, it's uncomplicated. It's simple. In its language, I'm not talking about its content. It's not exactly the easiest thing to understand as far as content. But as far as its language, it's simple language. Then you take Isaiah. Isaiah was a a brilliant, educated court preacher. He was a lawyer. He had a great vocabulary. His writings are very ornate, very beautiful, very perfect. Because that's who he was. So God uses you as you are. And you talk to God that way. Isn't that good? You don't have to do a lot of vain... And you don't just keep repeating things and think because you repeat, you know, the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, a number of times, you'll be heard. If you do it 15 times, God will hear you. No. He'll hear you the first time. Amen. You don't have to keep repeating it. He heard you the first time. Amen. He heard you the first time. Praise the Lord. Amen. He heard you the first time. And then long prayers. Well, it's okay to pray a long time. But sometimes you don't have time to pray a long time. You're driving down the highway and you hit a slick spot and your car's turned sideways and you're headed off the road down an embankment. You don't have time for a long prayer. You say, Jesus! That's about it. Amen. You know what? It works. It works. There are times you don't need to pray a long time. You need to get right to the point. And when you're praying for a meal, it don't take a lot of prayer. Hey, I'm hungry. Just give thanks. That's what you're supposed to do. Just thank the Lord. We call it giving thanks. Amen. So you don't take a long time to pray when you're getting ready to eat. The hungrier you are, the shorter you pray. Amen. No, it's about sincerity, isn't it? It's not about the length of prayer. So right praying includes these things: humility, sincerity, faith, persistence, and without ceasing. That's what the Bible teaches us about prayer. Amen. When you pray, humility. Amen. Humility is not the same as inferiority. You don't feel inferior, you feel humble. Amen. It's not just a feeling of unworthiness. Humility is more than that. It's a sense of awe that the Lord saved me. But there's a sense of worth that comes with it. Amen. That my, you know, it's like the little girl, you know, that come home from Sunday school and she was telling her mama that didn't go to church. And she was telling about the Lord and how the Sunday school teacher said how the Lord always was watching out and he watched everything you did and heard everything you said. And the mom got kind of nervous when she said that. And she said, well, honey, I'm not sure that's a good thing that he hears everything, watches everything. And doesn't that make you kind of nervous? She said, oh, no, Mom. She said, he loves me so much he can't take his eyes off of me. So it's a motive, you see. It's a motive, you see. So you have the right motive. Humility is the right motive. Sincerity. Amen. When you talk to God, you're being very sincere with him. And, you know, God can always spot a fake. Amen. If you're not being sincere with God, he knows that. Amen. I appreciate that man in the Bible. Remember the guy that prayed? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I like that prayer. That guy was just being sincere. He was being honest with God. And, you know, he wanted to have faith. But he knew that he also had doubts. And so he expressed it. He said, God... He said, help my unbelief. But I do believe. I don't need any help with my believing part. I need help with the unbelieving part. And so he confessed that, and the Lord honored his prayer because of its sincerity. When you pray with faith. Amen. You can pray with confidence knowing that God is going to hear you and God is going to answer you. Amen. When we pray, we need to have that kind of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what if God doesn't answer? He will answer. He will answer. Always answer. Now, you got to understand, timing is a part of God's answer. We always want what we want when we want it. And God doesn't always do it on our time schedule, but he does. He answers prayer. God doesn't always answer the way we think he's going to. You know, we have perhaps a preconceived idea in our mind how God's going to do something, and he doesn't do it that way. But that's okay. He's God. You leave the how and the when up to him, but he will answer. That's what faith is. Faith is simply trusting God to do what's right. That's what your faith is. It's not telling God how to do it. Amen. Not trying to force God's hand. I hear some people talk about faith as if it's some kind of force that you can move God with. No, it's not. It's not what it is. Faith does not force God to do anything. Amen. Faith is trusting God to do it in His way and His time. And when you pray with faith, that's the way you pray. And persistence. Amen. You just keep on praying. Never give up. Amen. You just keep praying. Persistence. And then I want to talk a few minutes, and I know my time's nearly up, but let me talk a little bit here tonight about fasting. The Bible said, when you fast. Everybody say, when you fast. Now, what is fasting? Fasting is when we give things up that we like in order to dedicate some time to God. Now, the benefit of fasting is not your sacrifice. It's not that, well, if I don't eat for a day, then I'm really sacrificing. God's going to honor my sacrifice. No, it's not the sacrifice that does it. It's not your doing without that does it. For God, it's good for you. It's good for me to do without things that I want. It's good for you to do without things that you want. That's right. Amen. That it's good for us to do that. So fasting's a good thing. Now, generally, when we talk about fasting, we talk about fasting food. That's what we do without. I like to eat. Amen. I like good food. And good food likes me. It stays with me a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if I don't have the first calorie I ever consumed. It seems that way. So fasting, usually we talk about doing without food for a period of time. Now, there's a lot of ways to fast. And I don't have time to give you a full lesson here on fasting tonight, but many, many ways you can fast. Not everybody can even fast one day. If you have a medical condition that is going to make you sick to fast, don't do it. Don't do it. If you can miss a meal, that's one thing. There's another way you can fast and eat every meal. Amen. Give up Hershey bars if you like Hershey bars. For a period of time. Give up Dr. Peppers. Amen. If that's what you like. Give up meat. Whoo. Can you do that? For a time. You see, there are things that you can do without. If you can't give up everything and not fast, what we call an absolute fast, you just don't eat. But you can still give up something that you really, really like. And it's gonna be a sacrifice for you to do that to you, because you really want it, you really like it, and you don't eat it, then that's a fast to you, amen. And what we have today, what we call, some people call media fast. You know, we're so attached now to our gadgets. You know, some people can't live it. I'm not trying to think and make 5 minutes without the telephone. I'm not sure they could. Amen. I think they'd go in withdrawal. They're so attached to their stuff. Amen. And their gadgets. And so that is a fast when you give up your gadgets. Amen. And so there's a lot of different ways to fast things. So it's a giving up something that you love in order to draw closer to God. So he gives us, first of all, as he did in the other two, he said how not to fast. He said, first of all, not as the hypocrites. Who's he calling a hypocrite? He said people, did you know that in Bible times there were actually people that would make their faces up to look like their face was all drawn? Oh, sad, sad. I'm fasting. Because they wanted people to feel sorry for them because they were fasting. And Jesus said, you have your reward. And then your reward is people feel sorry for you. That's what you want. It's what you got. We're even. I don't owe you anything. You got what you wanted. He said, but when you fast, he said, you wash your face, amen, and just go about your business. Don't talk about it. Don't act like it's a great thing. It's just between you and God. You just go about your business. Amen. And you just go ahead and live your life. And you get through the day and you just go on. Amen. And so he said, don't do it for vainglory. That's not how not to fast. The Bible calls it the Lord's fast. That is a fast unto the Lord. Again, humility and sincerity are essential in fasting. Amen. You fast because you feel like it's the right thing to do. Now, let me just a couple of the rewards of fasting. One is it's good for your health. You know, it's good to give your body a day off every now and then. You know, some folks, their digestive tract has never had a day off their whole life. Never. And their jaws and their teeth have never had a day off their whole life. Give them a break every now and then, for goodness sakes. Amen. And so it's healthy. It's good for you. It's good for your health. Now, I'm talking about people that are healthy. Some people, like diabetics, they can't. It's not good for them to fast. There are certain diseases that people have, and when you have those, you can't do a complete fast. You have to find another way to do it. I gave you some ideas on how to do it otherwise, but it's good for your health if when you're healthy to fast. It's good for your health. It's good for self-discipline. Amen. I remember a story they told about the elder Andrew Urshan, and he'd been on a lengthy fast, and he sat down to eat, and his stomach growled, and he said, "All right, stomach, 3 more days," and he got up and left the table. He said, "I'll teach you." I'm not Andrew Urshan, but I admire Andrew Urshan, but I'm not him. Amen. You give me a 3-day fast and greens and livers start looking good. Amen. I mean, it gets bad about then. But self-discipline, it's good to discipline your flesh. That's what fasting is all about. It's saying no to your flesh and yes to God. That's its whole purpose, self-discipline. And then fasting helps us to break habits. The Bible says it breaks the yoke. If you've got a habit in your life that you're trying to break, one of the best ways to reinforce your prayer is fasting. Because it weakens your flesh, it strengthens your spirit. It weakens your flesh, it strengthens your spirit. So obviously when you weaken your flesh, that helps break the yoke. When you strengthen your spirit, that helps break the yoke. So fasting then breaks habits. It helps us to break habits. It preserves austerity. Amen. You know, again, I've said this before, I say it again. It's not good to give yourself everything that you want. It's just good to say no sometimes. Matter of fact, it's good to say no a lot of the time. And if I could be so bold, it's not good to give your children what they want all the time. That's right. Amen. When Cherie was real little, she had this voice. Oh, goodness. She had this sweet, sweet little voice. And a lady told me one time, she said, "Boy, with a voice like that, she must get everything she wants." But the answer is no, she didn't. She didn't. As a matter of fact, we tried to limit a lot of what she got because we just didn't want her to feel like that she could have everything she wanted. If we went in the grocery store and she threw a fit, she didn't get nothing but a whooping. That's all she got. Amen. It was a dry run. Amen. Amen. This is not a story about discipline, a sermon on discipline, but it is important. You learn that when you're a child, you see, that you don't get everything you want. And if you're not used to getting everything you want. But if you grow up with that mentality, it gets rough in life. Amen. I don't know if I ought to get into this or not. But, you know, it disturbs me sometimes when I see how weak people are as far as giving into themselves. And I know people that can't drive past a place without stopping to get something to drink. Just, I'm dying. I gotta. No, you're not. You can make it. You can make it. I make myself do. I want to. I want to stop sometimes. I say, no, you don't need to stop. The Lord needs the money more than McDonald's, so you don't need to stop. And so you just say no sometimes. You see what I'm saying? Is that all right? Amen. It's okay to do that. It's okay to do that with a family. Amen. And your children, they need to learn that too. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's good to teach them. Another good thing is, you know, you teach them, well, let's do without your Coke or your snack or whatever today. And then whatever the monetary value of that is, let's put it in missionary offering. You see what I'm saying? It teaches them something very valuable, how to not give in to your flesh. Amen. We live in a society today that is so consumed with itself. Amen. And fasting teaches appreciation. Amen. If you want to appreciate a meal, just don't eat one for 2 or 3 days. And then you will appreciate a meal. Amen. I've heard people say, I don't really like to eat. Well, you just need to fast 2 or 3 days. Amen. And it'll restore your appreciation. Amen. Amen. So fasting is important. Amen. But it's important that we do it the right way. Amen. And so fasting is valuable to us. It's important that we do that. And again, let me go back to the very premise of this. The purpose of fasting, it's not sacrifice. That's not what gets God's attention. God doesn't feel sorry for you because you do without something. That's not it. The principle of fasting is that I weaken the flesh and strengthen the spirit. I weaken the flesh by saying no to the flesh. And I strengthen the spirit by saying yes to the spirit. That's the principle of fasting. That's why it works, and that's how it works. Amen. And then the rewards. Amen. The Bible says God's rewards. There are some that are in the present. Anybody remember what Matthew 6 and 33 said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. In other words, the material things that you need in your life, God will provide. If you seek God and His kingdom first, He will provide living for you. He'll provide a roof over your head and clothes for your back and food for your family. God will provide if you put Him first. If you put Him first. Not only put Him first, of course, but it's all the rest. And of course, I guess if you put God first and your heart's right with God, then you'll follow the other principles as well. Amen. All righty. So then God will supply our needs, our financial, physical needs as well. But most of God's reward, He talks about, are spiritual. There's peace. What price would you pay for peace? Amen. Isn't it priceless? The peace of God, the Bible said, that passes all understanding. There's nothing more precious than that. Amen. Peace. Amen. And then another thing that God gives you as a spiritual reward, guess what? If you do well in the kingdom of God, He gives you more responsibility. He gives you more work to do. Isn't that great? Amen. Praise the Lord. You get more work. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to grow. You know what grow is? Growth is. It's more work. Praise the Lord. Sister Washington, if your Sunday school class grows, that's just more work for you. But isn't it great? That's what we want, isn't it? Amen. When the congregation grows, it's a lot more work for me. But guess what? I like that. I want that. I'm asking for that. Praise the Lord. It's more work. So that's the way the kingdom of God works. Amen. And it's God's presence and God's favor. Amen. Those are the rewards we have. Amen. What greater reward is there in life than to walk humbly with God? Amen. Just to walk humbly with God, isn't that the greatest thing, that you can actually walk with God and God will walk with you? Hallelujah. The Bible said if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us constantly from our sins. Amen. What greater reward is there than that? Hallelujah. To have purpose to your days and God's favor. There's nothing greater in all the world than that kind of a life. Praise the Lord. Amen. So then the right motive is to be rewarded by God, not by people. I read something years ago that really helped me a lot to handle something I didn't know how to handle. I never really knew how to handle compliments. I didn't know what to do with them. You know, I don't want to be proud. I want to act proud. And so what do you do when people compliment you? Somebody says, Pastor, that was a great message. Thank you for that message. What do? You say, well, not really. Because then I'm lying. You know, if it's the Word of God, it was good, right? And so how do I handle it? What do you do when somebody gives you a compliment? And that's false humility. If you do that. So I was in this dilemma. I didn't know what to do with compliments. And then I read, anybody know who Corrie Ten Boom is? I read a book by Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a lady that survived in Nazi Germany in a prison camp, lost almost all of her family. Tragic, tragic situation. Great Christian lady, came through all of that. Had a great testimony. But here's what Corrie Ten Boom said, and it made a lot of sense to me. She didn't know how to handle compliments either. She said, but she learned this, that she took all the compliments people would say, you did good and whatever, and she'd say, thank you. Just a very sincere thank you. And then she said at the end of the day, she'd take the compliments and she would offer them up and say, God, now all of these are yours. Like a bouquet of flowers, and she would offer it up. God, this all belongs to you. Amen. That made sense to me. Praise the Lord. That you just graciously receive what people give, but then at the end of the day, you just give it to God and say, Lord, this is really yours. I know this is yours. And I want you to have it. Amen. That's a gracious way to receive from the Lord. So God is who we're trying to please. Isn't that right? That's your motive. If you please God, you're going to have the right motive. And if you please God, you're going to have the right reward. Amen. I read a story years ago, and I'm closing with this, honest, that there was a great musician. He was playing in a music hall. And when he finished his stunning concert, people jumped to their feet. And they shouted and they cheered. And they clapped their hands and they stomped their feet. And it was a standing ovation. And he just stood there and he lifted his eyes above all the crowd. And he just kept looking. And finally, he saw a gray-haired man stand to his feet way up in the balcony. And then he watched him as he began to clap his hands. And when he did, a big smile came across his face. Because you see, he wasn't there to please the crowd. That man up there, that was his teacher. That was the one that taught him. And he said, if he says I did it right, I did it right. Amen. The praise of the maestro meant more to him than all the praise of the people. He did a whole concert trying to please just one. So, living life, we're not just living life for people. We're living our life just to please one, and that's Jesus Christ. And if we can please Him, and we can, then it means more than anything else. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your attention here tonight. Amen. And thank you for letting me share with you the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Right motives and rich rewards. Right motives and rich rewards. Amen. The fact of the matter is, all of us someday are going to stand before the throne of God, and He's going to say the same thing to everyone. Regardless of what you did, regardless of how many souls you won, sacrifices you made, offerings you gave, days you fasted, hours you prayed, God's going to say one thing to everybody that's faithful. And this is what He's going to say. He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now He's going to say that to everybody, regardless. I know that here in the United States we have the saying that all men are created equal. We know that's not true. It sounds real good. We have certain inalienable rights, and that's what makes us the country we are, and thank God for that. But no, we're not equal. We're not equal. Amen. We know that. Amen. Not everybody's intellectually the same. Not everybody is physically strength the same. Not everybody as far as opportunities the same. We have a lot of differences in life. We know that that's true. Just being honest, that's the way it is. But when we get to the throne of God, everybody, He's going to say the same thing. Amen. To the wealthy, if they make it, He's going to say the same things as the poor man. Hallelujah. He's going to say the same thing to the brilliant as He does to those that are limited in their intellectual capacities. He's going to say the same thing. Well done, good and faithful. Everybody say good and faithful. Amen. That's it. If we can be good and faithful. That's it. That's your goal in life. Just be good and be faithful. Amen. That's what we're striving for. Striving to be good. Strive to be faithful. Amen. And God will take care of all the rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to Him right now. Jesus, amen. I love You tonight. And I want to do better. Thank You that we've made it this far on the journey. You've been mighty merciful and good and kind. And You brought me this far. God, I want to make it all the way. I don't want to stop anywhere short. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give in. I don't want to give out. But I want to make it all the way home tonight. So I'm asking You to help me, Jesus. Strengthen our faith tonight. Our consecration, our dedication. Amen. Help us to make up our minds tonight like never before. That we're going to serve You with a passion like we've never had before. Help me, God, to pray right. Help me to fast right. Help me to give right. Help me to stay right. Amen. I ask it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Help me to do it with the right motive, always with a motive just to please Jesus, to please Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to pray because I please You. I want to give because I please You. I want to fast the way that's pleasing to You. Never for any other reason. In Jesus' name, right motives. Amen. And You will give the right reward. Praise God. In Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I had a friend one time. He went to ask for a job. And the man said, "Well," he said, "what should I pay you?" And he said, "I don't know." And the guy said, "Well, what are you worth?" He said, goodness sakes, I couldn't live on that. Amen. Don't go there. Amen. That's not the way it works at all. So we can't go by what we're worth here. Amen. But we're doing it because we love the Lord. Do it because you love the Lord. Amen. Because He's worth it. He's worth it. Amen. Amen. He's without price. It's great, great value. Amen. Well, God bless you. Amen. Tomorrow night, don't forget if you can...